The epistle for the octave day of the Epiphany is taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 60. Arise, be enlightened, O Jerusalem, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and a mist the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall walk in thy light, and the kings in the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thy eyes round about, and see, all these are gathered together, they are come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall rise up at thy side. Then shalt thou see and abound, and thy heart shall wonder and be enlarged, when the multitude of the sea shall be converted to thee, the strength of the Gentiles shall come to thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Saba shall come, bringing gold and frankincense, and showing forth praise to the Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. At that time, John saw Jesus coming to him, and he saith, Behold the Lamb of God, behold him who taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me there cometh a man who is preferred before me, because he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he may be made manifest in Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John gave testimony, saying, I saw the Spirit coming down as a dove from heaven, and he remained upon him. And I knew him not, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, he it is that baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and I gave testimony, that this is the Son of God. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These words are taken from the epistle for the Mass of the Feast of the Holy Family, which feast we celebrated yesterday. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, many families from all walks of life, from all parts of the world, have something that is important to them, some family treasure. Many of these treasures are priceless in the eyes of the family members, and even if such things were worth a fortune, the family would not sell them, because they are worth more to them than all the things in the world. This was true of one particular Catholic Irish family, the O'Malley family. Mr. and Mrs. Michael O'Malley were good Irish Catholic parents, and they loved their only son Jack very much. They worked hard to instill in him a strong faith and good Catholic morals. They taught him responsibility, and they made sure that our Divine Savior, the Mass, and the sacraments were the most important things in Jack's life. The O'Malley home was thus a very Catholic one. Now, on the desk in his study, Mr. O'Malley had a small golden box, and he kept this box locked. When Jack was young, he would ask his father over and over what was inside the box. But all his dad would ever tell him was that, my son, is our family treasure. That's all he would tell him. The years rolled by. Jack grew up. He moved out of the house, and his work took him to another state. Then one night, his mother called him, and in a voice filled with grief, she informed him that his father had died. Realizing what his mother was telling him, tears began to fill Jack's eyes. After he hung up the phone, he then booked a ticket on the next flight home. Once he arrived, Jack and his mother made the funeral arrangements, and then they spent some time going through some old pictures, remembering past years and the happy days of Jack's childhood. Suddenly, Jack remembered the golden box that his father had kept on his desk. He quickly went to the study to retrieve it, but as he stepped into the study, he stopped. The box was gone. "Mom," he called out, "the box is gone." "What box?" she responded. "The small golden box that Dad always kept locked on top of his desk. It's gone." "I must have asked him 1,000 times what was inside," Jack added, "but all he would ever tell me was that it's our family treasure." Well, Jack and his mother began looking everywhere for the box, but all to no avail. Now, about a week and a half or so later, Jack left his mother and returned home. He went to the post office a few days later to collect his mail, and in with the letters and the bills, he found a small brown shipping box. The handwriting was difficult to read, but the return address caught his attention. It read, "Thompson & Sons Law Offices." He took the box out to his car, and he ripped open the small package, and inside it he found a small golden box with an envelope. As he pulled out the golden box, Jack's heart began to beat rapidly, and as he read the note inside, his hands began to tremble. "This box has been forwarded to you in the name of Mr. Michael O'Malley. Mr. O'Malley requested that upon his death," the note continued, "the contents of this package be shipped immediately to you." And at the bottom of the letter was taped a small key. As Jack pulled the key off the piece of paper, tears began welling up in his eyes. He then carefully unlocked the gold box, and there inside he found a very old but a very beautiful crucifix. Beneath the crucifix was a piece of paper with another note. "Dear Jack," it read, "while other families have many material treasures and heirlooms, our family treasure is our divine Savior. It is my prayer," the note concluded, "that when the time comes, you will make him your own family's treasure. Love always, Dad." My dear friends, on the Sunday within the octave of the Epiphany, we normally celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. But this year, since the Feast of the Epiphany was celebrated on a Sunday, there was no Sunday within the octave of the Epiphany. And so we celebrated the Feast of the Holy Family yesterday. Today, however, I would like to speak to you of this beautiful feast. For truly, the Feast of the Holy Family is one of the Church's many beautiful feast days throughout the year. It was instituted by Pope Leo XIII in 1893, and it was added to the Church's universal calendar in 1921 by Pope Benedict XV. Pope Benedict XV did this because he wanted to give Catholic families an example to imitate in their homes, a most perfect example of the virtues that should reign in the family. And he did this so that the family could imitate the most perfect example of a family, that is, the Holy Family. Saint Joseph, as you know, was the head of the Holy Family. As a carpenter, he worked hard every day in his workshop so that he could provide food, clothing, and shelter for his family. Saint Joseph was a devoted husband and foster father who loved his wife and his foster son very much. He was willing to sacrifice everything, including his own convenience and his own way, for the sake of his family. The Blessed Virgin Mary was the most perfect wife and mother. She diligently carried out her household duties, the cooking, the cleaning, the laundry. She loved and respected her husband, and she never complained to him, no matter how difficult things may have been. And of course, Our Lady loved her son with a love greater than the love that all the mothers in the whole world put together could ever have for their children. Then there's the child of the family, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was truly the most perfect son that this world will ever have. Our Lord loved his mother and his foster father. He showed them filial respect, and he obeyed every request they made, even though he was God. And whenever Our Lady needed help around the house, or whenever Saint Joseph needed assistance in the workshop, our divine Savior was eager and willing to lend a helping hand. In fact, he sought ways to help them even before they asked. That's what kind of a son he was. He anticipated the requests of his parents. This is why, my dear friends, the Holy House at Nazareth was such a happy home. Our Lord, his Blessed Mother, and Saint Joseph carried out their duties diligently, and none of them ever complained. They did not think of themselves. They did not think of their own convenience or what they wanted. They were not selfish. Rather, they were willing to make any sacrifice necessary for the sake of their family. Our Lady and Saint Joseph, my dear friends, made Christ the center of their home, and peace reigned there. He was God, and they knew it. And thus, every single thing they did was for him. As Christ was the center of the Holy Family then, he must be the center of the family today. He must be the treasure of each and every family. Is it any wonder that there are so many broken homes today? Is it any wonder why civil divorce has become so widespread? It's because Christ is not the center of families today. Instead of being the center of the family, he has been torn from the family. As one learned priest once put it, society rests on the family. And if the family is broken, society will crumble with it. And thus we have the present state of the world, a world widespread with sin, and a worldwide loss of faith and morals. We, my dear friends, we who have the one true faith, we must truly make Christ our Lord and our King. We must do this as Saint Paul tells us in today's epistle. He says, all whatsoever you do in word or in work, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we should do all for his honor and glory. Whatever we do, we make Christ the center of our lives. We make him the center of our homes. Let us not, my dear friends, refuse our divine Savior entrance into our home. Millions upon millions of people down through the centuries have told our divine Savior, as it were, that there's no room for him in their home. There's no room. He is thus turned away from countless homes today, as he was turned away by the innkeepers on that first Christmas night. He's rejected by men today, as he was rejected by his own people when he came to this earth. And thus, St. John tells us, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Will we, the very ones he shed his precious blood to save, will we also receive him not? Will we tell him there is no room in our home by allowing objectionable movies and television shows to be viewed? Will we turn him away by neglecting our prayers and the duties of our state in life? Will we tell him there's no room? No, my dear friends, let us not turn him away. Let us rather welcome him. But let us not merely welcome him into our home. Let us make him our family's greatest treasure. And you can do this very practically. If you have not had the Sacred Heart enthroned in your home, arrange to have this done. For by enthroning our divine Savior, by making him the king of your home, he will bless you and he will bless your family with many, many graces, especially the grace of persevering in the belief and practice of the Catholic faith. And then never let a day go by without kneeling to pray the rosary as a family. Pray the family rosary for the spiritual and temporal well-being of all your family members, that you may all stand firm in the faith, that you may all save your souls, and that you may all be blessed here in this world and forever in the next. Even if your family is grown up and spread out, pray the rosary each day for one another. And as you say the rosary for these and similar intentions, do not forget your deceased loved ones. Pray for the repose of their souls, for the bonds that bind a family together are not broken at death. Strive, my dear friends, to imitate the virtues of the Holy Family, so that your home may resemble as closely as possible the Holy House at Nazareth. When things get difficult, when trials come, when sickness comes, go to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph and ask for their help and guidance. Make Christ your family's greatest treasure. Ever mindful of the words of Mr. O'Malley to his son Jack. While other families have many material treasures and heirlooms, our family treasure is our blessed Lord and Savior. It is my prayer that you will make him your own family's treasure too. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.